This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hello, it's Tuesday, the 30th of April. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and I'll spare you my tearful resignation speech. Sorry, I'm staying. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day, we delicately spritz the British press and prune it into an aesthetically pleasing shape, creating from the veteran oaks of Fleet Street an elegant little bonsai tree of a press review show. And today we're launching a brand new way you can support Paper Cuts. We're running a listener survey to find out who you are, what you like, what you don't like, and how we can make the show even better for our lovely listeners like you. You can bag yourself some swag too. Five lucky survey completers will win one of our Paper Cuts mugs and one of our Paper Cuts t-shirts. Check you out. To enter, just follow the link in the show notes. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Ground control to Captain Tom. Hannah Ingram Moore's back in the news and we can't get enough of her. Television, the drug of the nation. Is TV more evil than ever? Would you date a Tory? Well, our very own Gráinne Maguire would, and she's in the Times admitting to it. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we're on what The Telegraph condemns today as a depressing trend because we're all wearing big baggy printed dresses. We love them and we're never going back to sharp tailoring. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I'm wearing a leopard print buffet dress. You can stuff yourself like a hog because no one can see your tummy under your fabric tent. And with me is comedian Gráinne Maguire, who's modelling an ankle-length blue floaty number. Are you very comfy, Gráinne?
I've just come in from the moor gathering eggs.
And also joining us is Podmasters presenter Jacob Jarvis, who isn't wearing a baggy dress but is rocking a baggy shirt. I mean, it's nice, Jarv, but like 3 out of 10, I don't think it's huge or floral enough.
Well, you're now banned from COS, so I hope you're happy that you said that.
Jarv, can you run through the broadsheet front pages for us?
Of course. So the front of the Times, SNP lurches into another crisis as its leader quits. Labour poised to profit amid race to succeed USAF. So that's all around the First Minister there quitting after there was going to be a confidence vote. They've also got a story, Scroll reveals Plato's final musings. Why is that flautist so bad? And apparently some Scroll... I just think this is
hot
quite
news.
Interesting, so we're
going to
pause. Yeah, it's definitely hold the front page stuff. But yeah, he was writing about seeing a Thracian slave girl playing the flute and said that he was unimpressed and criticised her sense of rhythm, which,
it's a bit mean of him.
You can't get the flautists in those days, I suppose. The Guardian also has USAF quits as First Minister after coalition gamble triggers SNP crisis. And then they've also got Sunak rules out Ireland deal on asylum seekers. So this is around Ireland being frustrated that the Rwanda situation and the small boats crossing is leaving some asylum seekers leaving England to go over to Ireland there. There's a whole
can't
thing
say I blame
there.
Them.
Yes. And then the Daily Telegraph. Sex is a biological fact, NHS declares. And this is around saying trans women banned from female wards under changes welcomed by campaigners. Just reading directly from the story here, pretty much. But the NHS will today declare that sex is a matter of biology and a significant shift against gender ideology. But there is a quote here from some NHS leaders who say they are raising concerns that the health service is being dragged into a pre-election culture wars debate. So, yeah, very complex story as ever, been handled quite aggressively by the Daily Telegraph.
Yes. Okay. So that's that. Depressing broadsheets. Gráinne, what are the tabloids up to?
So the Daily Mail, first of all, they've got two different pictures. One is the SNP leader with the headline about sort of the bit of the whoopsie he did this week. And I just love that picture. It's very much like a picture that sort of sums up, I have made a terrible mistake. And then the headline is, all schools warned of sex torsion epidemic. apparently foreign gangs are blackmailing hundreds of children over intimate pictures online. And then they also have a lovely picture of Meghan. She won't join Harry in the UK, but will visit Nigeria. And I have to say, for a newspaper that can be quite negative towards Meghan, she just looks so gorgeous and happy in that picture.
Yeah, she looks really nice. Although the headline does seem to be pretty much saying to her, hates UK, but will visit Nigeria. That's all right, because it's not the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of strange. They can just find that angle to shout at her about anything, can't they?
But she looks like she's thriving.
Yeah, she does. It's great.
She's winning. The Sun, Amazing Grace. Sun backs calls to give George Cross to student who died trying to save her pal. So that calls for the incredible bravery of Grace O'Malley Kumar to be honoured with George Cross. But then it's slightly cheerier news. You do get two tickets to Chessington World of Adventures.
Well, I suppose, hooray for that.
Yes. All Human Life is there on The Sun. And then The Daily Star have led with, Daily Star's Hug a Slug campaign isn't going as well as we hoped. Creepy Jez, that's Jeremy Clarkson to his pals, I'll kill 18 billion slugs.
Really? Take him ages.
With his bare hands or what?
Well, he's holding up a pint glass, so he's going to smash it down on them or drown them in beer. I don't know. Might take a while. Proud to love animals, including slugs, but not Jeremy Clarkson.
Sounds like a really rubbish Top Gear challenge.
How many slugs can you kill in a reasonably priced car?
Let's just take a little closer look at the biggest story of the day. Humza Yousaf has resigned as First Minister of Scotland. Jov, what's actually happened here?
Okay, very quickly. Humza Yousaf essentially ended a power-sharing agreement with the Greens, which obviously made the Greens very, very unhappy. This then left him with enough people unhappy at him that he didn't really have enough people to even run a minority government. He didn't have the confidence in him there. There were going to be two confidence votes, which looked like they were going to go down pretty badly. And he's basically admitted, yeah, I screwed up quite badly there. Obviously, I'm not the person who can keep leading the SNP in this sort of way. And someone else might be better suited to be able to come in and resolve this situation and regain some confidence and support and get it so that we can run things again. So yeah, essentially he's gone before he would have likely been booted because he just made a gamble which it really seems hasn't paid off for him.
Yeah, that's sort of political misjudgment rather than necessarily sort of his general popularity or performance, yes.
It's the Curb Your Enthusiasm Scottish reboot we're all hoping for.
Now, Papercut's perennial favourite Hannah Ingram Moore is back in the news. She's selling the family home where her revered war veteran father, Captain Tom Moore, walked laps of the garden during the COVID lockdown in 2020 to raise money for NHS charities. Jarv, what's she done now?
She has listed the family home where Tom Moore lived for sale, which was a home that her and her husband bought. But why it's caused some controversy is in a statement alongside the brochure for the home, she kind of bigs up the fact that it was Tom Moore's final place where this is the place where he did the laps.
Right.
And so there's a statement in the brochure, a particularly special memory of our time here is of my father walking 100 laps of the garden to raise a record-breaking sum of almost 40 million for NHS charities during the pandemic. And then in the brochure it also says this property is owned by the family of Captain Sir Tom Moore, who spent his final years there raising money for the NHS during the COVID pandemic. I don't know. There are clearly a lot of questions around Hannah Ingram Moore and the charities, and the Charity Commission is digging into the Tom Moore Foundation and stuff like that, and I won't say too much more there because, obviously, legalities and stuff. I don't know if listing Tom Moore in the property listing is that bad. I think more honesty in property listings would be good. What if someone has a haunted house and they don't reveal the ghost?
And it probably is haunted. You're right. Yeah. At the middle of the night, you'll hear...
in the garden.
Yeah.
Horror film, The Final Lap. But we've looked actually and found the actual listing. This house is huge. It's 2.25 million.
Thing.
It's really big. Yeah, it doesn't look like, though, looking on the brochure there, it doesn't seem there is any statement around Tom Moore. But there is a rather large bust of Tom Moore in the hallway.
Oh, it's actually a full statue. Yes, I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big, really.
But it's very like, it's big. Did I leave that there?
But again, on the whole naming Tom Moore thing, surely if you went to look around that house, you'd be like, so what's with the Tom Moore statue? And your estate agent would have to explain. It'd be more weird if it's like, oh, they just loved the guy.
I mean, Courtney, would you... But, you know, it's probably different, isn't it, for an estate agent to explain as you're looking around is a bit different from sticking it in the brochure and up front. Is it? Does this feel just a bit like, you know, rather grasping to use
Listen,
the name again?
Listen, I love this. This has given me so much joy because I just think, what should Captain Tom's legacy be? Should it be the bit of charity work that he did in the last year of his life, or should it be the fact he was probably a really bad father? We have to look at the man in totality. What is his legacy? Is it raising the money for the NHS or a very damaged middle-aged woman? You can't have one without the other. So that woman, Hannah Ingram Moore, is Captain Tom's legacy. She is his legacy.
This poor guy. To what extent can parents be held responsible for their kids?
Oh, listen, there's a in Ireland we say there's a want there. Obviously, there's damage. There is damage with that woman. And you, British people, if you want all that glory, he was obviously, he did all the things. He lived a long life. He lived 100 years.
Yeah.
Okay, we know 1 year of that life. And obviously, other stuff happened as well. Let's just say, and we're seeing it unfold in real time.
Does what's going on in the American election scare and bemuse you in equal measure?
Want to know what Biden and Trump are up to without tearing your hair out?
Then you need to listen to American Friction, the brand new podcast about the countdown to the big vote in November from the makers of Oh God, What Now?, The Bunker and Paper Cuts.
Every Friday, we'll speak to leading experts and blockbuster commentators from the United States to explain the latest news and the big issues behind the vote.
That's American Friction with me, Jacob Jarvis.
Me, Chris Jones.
And me, Nikki McCann Ramirez.
Out every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, former BBC One controller and Channel 4 chief executive Michael Grade, now Lord Grade, has spoken out to say that TV has, he thinks, become exploitative and cruel. The exploitation dial has been switched up more and more for ratings, he told Boom Radio. I really don't like it or enjoy it. Gronje, as a person who watches TV, as do we all, is it more evil than ever, or do we just not remember how bad it's always been?
I just think... TV reflects the culture that produces it and rewards it and gives it ratings. And I think, to say, like reality TV, it can be Bake Off or it can be MILF Island. You know, it's both.
Why not both?
Exactly.
How about a mashup?
So I think to say that one specific genre of TV is the problem is a bit ridiculous. So reality TV, like in the late 90s, early noughties, it was so new and it was so exciting. And there were formats from that period that are insane. Like I remember there's a reality TV show called The Swan. It was an American reality show where women were given a cosmetic surgery as sort of a reward. And they went through this whole boot camp and cosmetic surgery. And then the big reveal at the end. So the whole process, they weren't allowed to look at themselves in the mirror. And then at the very end, suddenly they were saw themselves in the mirror where they were no longer recognizable. And my favorite bit was they would always have this moment where they're reunited with their family. And especially if they had young children, the young children were always unbelievably traumatized because they no longer recognized their mother.
God, who's that?
That is horrific, man.
What the hell? Yeah. Okay, so this was the late 90s.
No, this was early noughties.
Early noughties. I mean, so I don't think we can say it's got much worse than that, can we?
I think it just reflects the culture that we live in. Like, I think as well, like some X Factor episodes from the noughties have aged so badly. Like, there was a contestant, Misha B, who is in X Factor. She's this kid, I think she was like 19, and she became like the series baddie. And at one stage, Talusha, was saying, yeah, you're a bully. I'm just going to say nobody likes you. And she was, just because she looked like really glamorous because she was on TV, people forgot she was a child. So I think stuff like that, that was sort of real normalised. Maybe it was like the novelty of it all. We kind of forgot that they were real people. So I think basically people, you know, were all rotten, dark, nasty people when given the opportunity. And maybe now that it's kind of, you know, we're, it's nearly like what, 30 years old? Is yeah. it 30? So the form maybe has become a little bit more sophisticated. I think so.
Or, Jav, might it be also that we've changed a bit? I mean, are we as a society perhaps a bit more wise to sort of the damage to people's mental health and so on that can happen with this? Because, I mean, you know, there has been a really serious effect. Obviously, we know that very sadly there have been suicides and so forth among people who've been reality TV stars or presenters. And, I mean, you know, there is clearly damage. And, you know, do you think, is there a way in which we've, as a society, perhaps kind of, you know, we might reflect on this differently now?
I'm not sure, because I think the shows definitely haven't got more cruel. When you look back at these things, I mean, there's this piece in The Independent and that's talking about the show, there's something about Miriam. And when you read into that, you just think, I don't think that sort of show would be commissioned today or today
it's
or
truly
happen.
Astonishing. I mean, but for people who haven't read it, you should probably just explain, that was a sort of dating show where men were supposed to be competing over this very beautiful woman called Miriam. And it was only revealed at the end that she was trans. I mean, it's sort of unbelievably cruel in terms of how she was used on that show.
Yeah.
And, you know, afterwards, I think the contestants sued to try and stop it being shown. And there was this huge fuss. It settled out of court. I mean, it really does seem to have been ethically a complete mess.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe societally, yeah, we've wisened up to this. But then we've also, the desire to become famous and get attention and the roots to that have gone up exponentially. The idea that you could be sort of low level influencer of some kind. So I suppose the desperation from people to get this sort of attention has raised. And maybe one of the other things about these shows is just, you're not set for life if you go on one of these shows anymore.
No,
Big Brother,
sure.
Back in the day, if you did it, you know, that would, you, the prize money meant a lot more. The sort of attention you got, the celebrity that came out of you was massive compared to now. The prize money is still £100,000, I think. It's still the same. And we all know the cost of living crisis.
It's not going to get you
It's not going. So
can't buy a Captain Tom mansion for that kind of money.
Yeah, so maybe they feel crueler in a way because the people who go into these shows still have the same hopes of fame and fortune and recognition. And that actually isn't something they achieve in the same way anymore, which makes it all feel a little bit more cruel because the show itself hasn't got more cruel, but the end result isn't quite where it used to be.
Hello, I'm Dorian Linsky.
And I'm Ian Dunn.
We are the hosts of Origin Story, the podcast that unpacks the history behind the ideas, the people and the events that shape political discourse today.
And we are back for season 5.
We're kicking off with a two-parter on George Orwell, the man, the work, the ideas. We follow him from Burma to Spain, through Second World War London, to the writing of his masterpieces Animal Farm and 1984, and how their legacy is used and misused today.
That's Origin Story Season 5, coming now from anywhere you get your podcasts.
On Paper Cuts, we love them, but we just can't stop criticising them. It's basically a dysfunctional relationship and we should probably just chill out and learn to love their flaws. It's us and headlines, the headlines of the day. What do you have for us, Jav?
I'm trying to work this one out to let you know what I have for you. So page 3 in the Daily Star, Corey's Coulson-Smith, don't know who that is, but he's there, was terrified by what he believed to be an encounter with a ghost. Speaking on his On the Sofa podcast, he said, I kept seeing this light come past the door, like it constantly came past the door. So I was like, right, ignore it. Then my heart's pounding and I'm like, God, it's a bad spirit. And essentially, it turns out, there's a note here, I remember I had my Sonic the Hedgehog pajamas on. So I hope this was a long while ago, because he's 25 now. but it was an air freshener. I mean, it was one of them automatic air fresheners.
Oh,
going
right,
off.
Yes.
And the headline is, scare freshener.
That's pretty good. Actually, I think that's pretty good.
Honestly, I was so confused trying to work out.
I mean, there's a lot of setup.
Please make me explain the situation with the SNP. Instead of that, it's less complicated. Then on page 15. So refuse collectors have been mocked for fixing skirts onto bins to beat raiding seagulls. So there's these sort of contraptions here covering up the edge of the bin so you can still push stuff through, but so these seagulls, which the Star really does hate seagulls, they've got a big problem with
them. It's got a right old thing about
it. Go and dive in. But this has been, they've been called potty skirts on bins to stop gulls raiding them. Bird brains is the headline.
Right.
Just on the side of the seagulls? I don't know.
Yeah, it's confusing. Well, proud to love animals. I mean, it's confusing. The attitude on seagulls is variable.
I hope no slugs were hush.
Yeah, slugs are good. We established this.
And then page 23 in the Star. Cavemen may have been vegan for long periods of time, apparently. Early humans are traditionally depicted as feeding on hunks of meat. But new research shows that plant-based foods such as acorns and nuts made up a significant part of the diet of cave dwellers in North Africa thousands of years ago. Veganderthals.
Oh, I think that's very good.
It's pretty solid, actually. And they've got a picture of a sort of Neanderthal man. Well, it's not a Neanderthal man, but eating a broccoli. Yeah, good stuff.
Oh, I think that's a pretty strong effort. Ronja, can you match that?
I'm just so mad about bloody woke Stone Age people.
Yeah, fucking hell.
So annoying. So my headlines are from The Sun. The first headline is from page 3. So the story is that Princess Anne would love to appear on Strictly Come Dancing, according to a professional dancer who works on the show. Headline is... Anmam style.
Like Gangnam.
Or Gangnam style. Okay.
I mean,
Anman style.
Sort of. I mean,
Anman style.
I mean, it's a reach, isn't it? But, you know, 10 out of 10 for effort.
Also in The Sun, there's a lovely black and white picture from Will's and Kate's wedding, which is the 13th anniversary today. And I have to say, Kate looks basically identical.
Mm.
Oh, it's been a rough 13 years for William, hasn't it?
Oh my god.
You can just see it's like he used to have a bit of his mother, didn't he? And she's left his face, hasn't she? My god. She's peaced out. I don't know what he's done to annoy her, but she's like, yeah, I'm Harry's mother now. Anyway, William and Kate, a lovely black and white picture from their wedding. Headline is, love is in the air.
Well, at least they didn't comment on his hair.
Yes. And then also in The Sun, Ocado boss Tim Steiner is the latest chief to bag a bumpy pay rise. Headline is, Ocado. Which is more of a written down pun
money.
Dough as in like money.
Yeah.
So Ocado.
That would have worked very well in the 1940s when people used that word to mean money. Yes.
Bugsy Malone writing the headlines for The Sun.
Now, features are the safe space of the Fourth Estate. Unless you happen to be a woman, of course. In that case, they're a constant attack on every decision you've made over the course of your life. But we love them anyway. Maybe. Now, over the weekend, if you happen to read the supplement in Saturday's Times, you may have seen an article under the headline, I'm a lefty, he likes Preeti Patel, how I fell for my Tory boy. And just below that, you may have seen a familiar face, our very own Gráinne Maguire. Gráinne, do you have something to tell us?
Oh, well, listen, as I was saying earlier, when you become the news, maybe it's time to step back.
You're so famous, I can barely bear to be in a studio with
listen,
you.
Listen, guys, it's just me. I'm just me. I haven't changed.
So come on, fess up.
Okay.
What happened here? How did this come about?
What had happened was I was on a Times radio show with the amazing journalist Jane Mulcurrins, and we were just having a great chat. She is... girl's girl, she's the best. And then I mentioned that my husband is sort of a Tory.
Right.
And then a week later, she gave me a ring and said she was working on a piece about couples who vote different ways. Okay, now pull back context. I didn't realise this was a bit odd, but genuinely my whole life, so I'm a left-wing person, but I've always, my dream have always been to have like a conservative centre-right boyfriend. And then...
this I mean, it's a really niche fantasy.
No, it gets worse. And this is my fantasy. I was always like, imagine if I, you know, in those articles like in the Sunday Times where it's like, he's a Tory and I'm left wing, but somehow we make it work. And then we pose like back to back with our arms folded.
Oh my God.
I know. I was like, that is the coolest thing. I was like, always, you know, have a little like John and Sally Berko moment. I was like, I always just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then Jane brings me up and says, this is this article. Would you mind doing it? And oh, there will be a photo shoot.
And did you insist on the back-to-back pose that they have gone with then?
Well, so first of all, I had to persuade. Well, when I say persuade, tell my husband, this is what's happening. We're doing it. So he's just a shy, normal person. He's just a little... He's not a tech bro. He's a hedge fund guy now. He was fintech, now he's hedge fund. So this is not part of his life. So he had to like tell his workmates, oh, I need to take Monday afternoon off for a photo shoot.
So what's attracted you to the hedge fund broker, Gráinne?
Look, left-wing people, we're annoying.
They're poor.
We are annoying. We're poor and we're annoying. And what I bring to the relationship, opinions, I'm right on everything. So that's really helpful. I bring like what Netflix shows we should watch, what podcasts he should listen to, what things to do in the evening. And then he provides the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, stability and stuff like that. So it works.
Geoff, what do you think about dating across the divide? Mm. Is this something you've ever done?
I've not really dabbled in it myself, but they never go fully extreme with the divide, do they, in these pieces? It's never, I'm an Antifa and he's a neo-Nazi. That would be the true test of it, I think. I think they've got to, you know, got to go further. They've got to push it to see how far the divide can go, Gráinne. Your partner sounds like a very nice man. But it's not the too divided, hopefully.
Honest to God, going out with a Brexiteer is the best. It's the best because I win every argument. Whenever he goes, oh, I think this will be a good idea, I'll be like, what, like Brexit? How did that work out for you? Done.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Jacob Jarvis.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Gráinne Maguire.
No further questions, please. My privacy.
Join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Goodbye to ads. Hello to daily extra bits from just £3.60 a month. Bop on over to papercutshow.co.uk or follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our lovely supporters for helping to make the show today.
Thanks. And if you want my future, forget my past. Tom Sanders.
Muchas gracias. And if you want to get with me, better make it fast, John McConomy.
Now don't go wasting my precious time, Thomas Hamper. Get your act together, we could be just fine. And thanks. I've been Alex von Tunzelman and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when hundreds gathered in New York to watch an anonymous man in a red balaclava devour an entire jar of cheese balls. One spectator said, "This is why I live in New York. London will not be outdone. I'm wearing my buffet dress. Bring on the Watsits." See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelman with Jacob Jarvis and Gráinne Maguire. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production by Adam Wright. Audio production and music was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.